This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. Some primary and secondary schools have returned to in-person teaching already, while others are pushing back their start dates because of the pandemic. How does it affect Ball State's own Burris Laboratory School and its Indiana Academy? Also, as we inch toward August, a new ruling by Immigration and Customs Enforcement will affect many international students across the country. And then there's football. A lot of questions still finding their way to Ball State University President Jeff Murn's desk, and he is with us again electronically this week to answer a few of those questions. President Murns, welcome back.
Thank you. As always, Stan, it's good to be with you.
Good to be with you, sir. Two institutions within Ball State offer pre-college education. The Burris Laboratory School, part of the Teachers College, is a public K through 12 school, and the Indiana Academy for Science, Mathematics, and Humanities is a residential high school for exceptional juniors and seniors who take college-level classes. When will teaching commence at those schools, or is it already underway, and how will the students participate with in-person instruction?
So instruction at Burris will begin next Wednesday on August 5th, and then classes begin at Indiana Academy on Monday, August 17th. Although the students at Indiana Academy, as you know, that's a residential high school, they may begin moving in to the residence hall on Friday, August 9th. There has been extensive preparation and planning underway for many weeks to prepare for the beginning of the school year. As part of the preparations for Burris, the administration sent out a survey to the parents and families of the students, asking them their preference, whether they would prefer to begin instruction remotely. And the last time I heard, there was at least one third of the families would prefer to begin by remote instruction, not having sending their student to the school each day. Now, those responses, though, vary by grade level. There was a much higher percentage of families who said they wanted their student who was in high school to study remotely, but a much smaller percentage of parents opted for that choice for students who were in the early elementary grades. But so based upon those survey results and the family preferences, they conducted assessment of the classroom capacity for those students who we anticipate will return to school instruction. And they have done a lot of work to assure that there's appropriate physical distancing in the classrooms and in the hallways. And as we look at the number of students who will be there, it may require a high flex structure in some of the grades. That is, for some of the students, they might come in to the building on certain days, and then other students in a particular class on other days. Indiana Academy is taking a similar approach. They've appropriately reduced the number of students that will be in a classroom. They're making some other adjustments as well. For example, along with Burris, we've reduced the number of 8 a.m. classes that begin at 8 a.m. to reduce the congestion for families dropping off their students. We've also adjusted the class time so that Burris and Indiana Academy classes are not changing class and changing classrooms at the same time to, again, reduce congestion in the hallways. Masks are required in all of the buildings. The lunchroom capacity has been reduced. Some students will actually eat their meals in the classrooms. And then with respect to those classrooms, they'll be disinfecting the rooms and the desks and other objects in those rooms between every class session.
On to older students now, college age. NPR reported a few days ago that newly enrolled international students, whose colleges and universities are operating entirely online this fall, won't be allowed to enter the United States after all, especially if they've not been here before, as I understand it. The mandate comes from the law enforcement agency called Immigration and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE. Ball State will not be all online, but could this affect Ball State's international students in perhaps some indirect ways?
It could. And so, as you identified, the most recent directive does not affect returning students. And I'm relieved that ICE made that adjustment. But as you indicated, they've maintained that restriction for new students. But frankly, the most recent directive is not clear. So we are not fully online. We have more online offerings, but we are not a fully online institution. So it's not clear to us how it may affect our incoming students. And I must say it's unfortunate. I think the last thing all of us needs, but particularly our prospective students. The last thing we need now is more uncertainty. We would appreciate that that ICE would give us some clarity in that regard.
And as we like to say on radio, over to sports now. What do you know today about the Mid-American Conference and fall sports? Football, of course, is on a lot of minds around here, and Ball State looks to have a really good team to take the field this year. We now have three non-conference games canceled, two at the Big Ten, and a loss of about $1.6 million of income from those two games. And the university has just added a road game with Iowa State, a smaller payout, but nevertheless something, and it's another game. That brings us up to 10 games at last count for the season. What do these changes do to our athletic program, football in particular?
Well, it is once again an understatement to say this is a dynamic environment. So the commissioner and the MAC presidents, we have weekly telephone calls to monitor that environment. We're monitoring the landscape on a very regular basis. And really our decision, it's a difficult and complex decision, but it really boils down to, in my estimation, two principal factors, both of which are about our student athletes. And the first and paramount factor is their health and safety. But the second factor is one that I think we cannot ignore. And that is, for almost all of our student athletes, representing Ball State University on the football field or the basketball court or the field hockey field, it is the culmination of their longstanding commitment, their dedication to competitive athletics. They yearn to compete. And of course, that desire will not trump our determination of what's safe and healthy for them. But as I said, we can't ignore the real impact of any decision we make on what is a very important aspect of the lives of our student athletes.
Ball State President Jeff Murrins, thanks very much for being with us this week, and we'll see you next week.
You're welcome, Stan. Be well.
Showers and thunderstorms in the IPR forecast today. Look for a high of 83. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.